long time ago, John and I were spending quite a bit of time working and trying to help people get out of institutions. And as we were doing that, a lot of the time I think what we were looking at was kind of a critique of the places and saying all the things that are wrong with them. And you can keep making those lists. They don't ever end. But one of the things that we thought about was that it's also important to say, what is it we want for people and what do people want for themselves? What are the things that we're trying to grow, not just what are we trying to get rid of? Because those can lead to very, very different places. And so we spent a lot of time talking with people and to family members and to people with disabilities and observing. And we came up with five very simple things that we call five valued experiences, which to us define what we think of as inclusion and can give us a way toward helping us decide how are we progressing with people and how are things going. So as John said, other people may have some different versions of this, but this is just one of ours. And just path and maps and particularly personal futures planning are actually based on these five things as we're working to help people have better lives. So I'm just going to touch on them very quickly and maybe give you a couple of examples. So the first thing that we'll look at is the issue of being respected. Because one of the things that we've seen is that people, in many cases, get very little respect. So we think that in everything that we do, what we need to be working for is to make sure that in our actions and in our interactions with people, we're doing things that enhance people's respect and don't detract from it. But there's so many ways still that get in the way of that. The way we label our programs, the way we talk to people, the funding sources that we use get stuck onto people, and you can tell who people are without ever meeting them because you know they're in this program or that program. The name labels people. So we need to work and try to think about making sure that we try to get away from those things so that people are respected. Another thing that enhances respect that people have is the social roles that they occupy in our communities. And still today, so many people who have labels are only known as clients or even worse, in my opinion, consumers. And so what can we do to help people have more roles? If we, each of us in this room, thought about ourselves, some of us would have a whole lot of roles, some of us would have smaller numbers, but I bet it's not just consumer and client. Right? And those are roles that we are in sometimes, but it doesn't take up all of our lives. And for lots of people who have labels, it does. So expanding the roles that people have makes a huge difference. And people are often seen, and this gets into another one of these, but I'll mention it. People, because of the way people have been disrespected, many people are never seen as being able to make a contribution until we fix them. When you get fixed, then maybe you can make a contribution. And what we're trying to say here is no, that's not what, we're not here fixing people. We're trying to help people have the same range of experiences that the rest of us have. And you'll notice as I go through these things and as you look at them, none of these things are disability things. They're all human things. And those are the very things that get left out for people who get labeled. We work on all the different parts and never focus on the things that as human beings make a difference for us. So being respected is something that we need to pay a lot of attention to. Another thing is sharing ordinary places. This one particularly, all of these seem so easy, but they seem to be so hard for us to get right and work for with people. But because people have been so separated in institutions in the past, we said people should be supported to go places and be in places and share places with other people in the community. Seems very simple. But we seem to have a way of making sure that doesn't really happen. So we have things, at least in the United States, that I call mall therapy. Have any of you experienced mall therapy? Where little groups of 3, 4, 6, or 8 people get herded through the mall as an outing. And you can watch the other people step back and say, what is going on here? And John and I have actually tried at the mall close to us to talk to some of the people in these little groups, and staff won't let you do that. Confidentiality. We can't talk to you. You can't know the people's names. So we actually now have people in the community being segregated right in the middle of us, and people are not sharing places. They're being in them. And there's a really big difference between sharing and feeling welcome in a place than just being present. And do you see also how that can lead to disrespect? It kind of circles back to the respect issue I was talking about. So all of these things are related to each other. Another thing that we want to help ourselves think about as we're supporting people to be in the community is making sure that we're helping people think about their contribution and how people can contribute the gifts that they have to the rest of us. And everybody has a contribution. Sometimes it's hard to figure out, sometimes it's very easy, but at least contemplating the idea that this person, even if they don't talk, even if they don't walk, even if they need help going to the toilet, this person has a contribution that they can make, and we need to be able to see that and support it. And that can really change so many things. It can really shake people up in the community to see this person that they look at and say, I always thought about you needing help. Here you are giving. And I don't think I've ever done any person-centered planning where one of the main things that the person said or expressed in some way was, I want to help somebody else. I want to do something to help somebody else. So that is there in people, and people often need help to do that. We're not talking about people who necessarily can do this on their own. We're talking about people who may need a lot of support to do it. So those of us in services really need to think about helping people identify what they have to make a contribution to others and then support people in ways that make it possible for them to do that. The next issue that we think is really important is for people to be able to make choices. And because people's lives have been so constrained in the past and still today, it's really important that people have the chance to say, this is what I'm interested in, this is what I want, this is what I would like to do, about more than just do you want this soft drink or that one. On issues like who do you live with and where do you live and what kinds of things do you want to do. And in many cases, people, even today, are not allowed to do those things for all kinds of reasons. Either it'll be health and safety or there'll be some other thing that gets in the way that stops people from being able to make choices. And I'll come back to choice in just a minute. And then the fifth valued experience that we'd like to be able to support people to have is belonging. And a lot of things go in here, but one of the main things we think of is who are the people to whom you belong and who belong to you. The people who love you and care about you, and the people who, if you're not there, you're missed. People will call and find out why you're not there. So it can include those things like relationships, but it can also include all other kinds of belonging into community organizations, into community activities. Again, places where you're an integral part of something so that that place or that thing is missing something if you're not there. And we think all of these things are very interrelated, as I said.